Hey everybody, we're going to continue with John 17 and Jesus' high priestly prayer there for the church. So we'll start in 17, verse 6. I've manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. So again, we see here Jesus' high priestly prayer. And I've said this before, but if someone prays for you or says they're going to pray for you, or you know they're praying for you, it's terribly encouraging. How much more so to know that Jesus Christ, the Word of the Father, prayed for you and is praying for you, continues to pray. So I want to just unpack a few things out of here, out of Jesus' prayer. As I said, 17, he transitions, or actually in verse 6, he transitions to praying for the disciples. In the first five verses, he was praying that the Father would be glorified, and now he's turning to pray for the disciples. And the first thing I want to point out is that we find out that we, the church, are a gift from God to Jesus. Jesus says, they belong to you, and you've given them to me. That's kind of surprising. I think we might think that Jesus gave us to the Father. In a certain sense, he did. But Jesus wants to stress that the church, his people, belong to the Father, and the Father has given them to Jesus, and Jesus keeps them. He is the shepherd that keeps the sheep. And he goes on to say that, unlike the world, these that Jesus keeps, that he has received from the Father, they've learned some things about Jesus. And again, all through this section, there's so many summaries of the most crucial content of the gospel. Jesus enumerates four things. He says that Jesus' life is only explainable because he comes from the Father. It's only explainable because God the Father gives him the disciples and everything else that he gives them. This stresses Jesus' equality with the Father, his divinity. The second thing is it says that Jesus speaks the words of the Father. It's not that Jesus speaks really great words, really memorable words, really interesting words, but they're the very words of the Father, that he is reporting what the Father says and has said. The disciples have come to realize Jesus' words aren't just some human being's words. They're God's words through Jesus. And that's a crucial part. A third thing. Jesus came from a unique place. Remember, this is a stress all throughout this gospel, where Jesus came from and where he is going. And it stresses the fact that Jesus came from, as it says in the beginning of the gospel, intimacy with the Father, or as the King James has it, and I like this, from the bosom of the Father. No one has this kind of intimacy with God except God the Son. And they have come to realize that Jesus is not like the prophets of old who had messages from God and were inspired, but he actually comes originally from the bosom of the Father. And finally, that Jesus is the sent one. He is the missionary of the Father. He is the original missionary sent by the Father to fulfill all the promises of Scripture, particularly the promise to Abraham to bless all nations. So because they have come to believe these things about Jesus, the Father loves them and gives them to the Son, and the Son keeps them. And how encouraging that is. Then I've said that Jesus' prayer in this chapter can be compared with the Lord's Prayer. And I want to go through and look at, there's three requests that Jesus makes in here and how they parallel the Lord's Prayer. First, he prays that they would be kept in his name. He prays to the Father that the disciples would be kept in the name. And I think this parallels let your kingdom come. The kingdom that we pray for when we pray the Lord's Prayer comes where Jesus is declared in all his fullness, that he is from the Father, that he came in the flesh, that he took on human nature, that he was crucified and raised from the dead, that he is the Word of the Father. Jesus is the King, and by proclaiming Jesus as the King, we proclaim the name. And we are kept in that name because Jesus is God's autobiography. He's God's self-communication. And in the Scriptures, name means character. And in the life of Jesus, and particularly in the cross of Jesus, we see the character of God unveiled. And so he displays the character of God and keeps the disciples in that character, both in showing it to them and in allowing them more and more to be shaped into that character. In the Scriptures, we become what we behold. And as we behold the character of God on the cross, we are kept in that name. And increasingly, the church becomes the autobiography of God in the earth. Only as we behold Jesus crucified and raised, but we become his autobiography in the world. The third request in the Lord's Prayer in this prayer in chapter 17 is keep them from the evil one. And we can parallel this with thy will be done. The devil in the beginning, the serpent in the garden, persuaded Adam and Eve to do his will. And then we see the consequences of sin and death and broken relationship that came because of that. Jesus here prays, thy will be done. Let them be devoted, Father, to your will, not to their own, not to the devil's will. Let them exclusively be devoted to your will. Keep them from being deceived by the evil one to do his will. And notice that he says, not that you would take them out of the world. The point is, we have to be God's autobiography in the world, and we can only do that if we're in the world. We're not rooted in the world. Our way of thinking doesn't come from the world, but we have to be here so his character can be manifest. And again, that idea is paralleled in thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because we are called, our mission is to manifest the culture of heaven in our lives together. And then finally, that third request, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. I think we can compare this to give us today our daily bread. We learn in the Gospels that Jesus is concerned about our real bread, real physical bread, and he provides it constantly. But we also learn in the Gospels that man does not live by bread alone. In fact, bread or any kind of food, food and water are signs. They point to something deeper and richer and bigger and more important, namely that human beings are sustained by God's communication to us. We don't exist apart from that, and we can't thrive apart from that. And so Jesus is praying here that they would be connected to him. And that means connected to him through the Scriptures, which is his word in print, but connected to him through his body on earth, which is the church, and connected to him through his body, which is on the altar of communion. And so he's praying that they would remain connected to him, that they would remain, as he said in an earlier chapter, a part of the vine. And if we think about it this way, all food, all human food, is a sign that points to this, the Bible. And the Bible is a sign that points to Jesus Christ, the Word of the Father. And That is the bread by which Jesus is praying that we live. So we pray in Jesus' authority. And again, as I think, if the Father's going to answer anybody's prayer, He's going to answer Jesus' prayer. And it is so encouraging to know that Jesus prayed and continues to pray these things for us. And may all the prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ be filled in His people. Amen.